Did you ever notice in sales how we just love to say that people like to do business with people they know, like, and trust? Now, that's real easy to do when you're dealing with your clients. Why? Because I would hope that they already know, like, and trust you. But now, how about those who don't know you and don't like you at this point? They don't know you enough to know if they like you, and certainly not enough to trust you when you're so busy spending time with your existing clients. Today, we're going to talk about how you can continue to show up and establish that trust with people who don't know you yet. My name is Paul Castain, and I'm the author of the Your Sales Playbook blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 10,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready, because school is now in session. Of all the sales topics, I will tell you, I'm most passionate about this topic of continually finding the time to hunt for new business. And it's not because I want to be like this typical, like, self-righteous type of sales trainer. It's because I failed miserably. I mean like horribly, horrifically, like epically, about 21 years ago. And I lost everything. And I mean everything. I owned a business at that point. I owned a printing company. And my problem was, and it didn't seem like a problem at the time, and that's why I really want to get this message out to you guys, because what I'm going to outline is not going to seem like a problem, but it was. The problem was, I was so busy servicing major accounts. So I had brought in accounts like DuPont. I brought in Miracle-Gro. On the local level, I brought in a chain of stores that's now at a business called Rock Bottom Stores, a number of other retail establishments. I mean, I had a really good book of business. And quite frankly, I got a little arrogant, and I got a little cocky, and I got extremely comfortable. I thought it would never end. And I was just so busy, and I got caught up in this whole, well, I have to service my clients thing. And of course you have to service your clients. I mean, you can't have clients going out, you know, the back door faster than you can bring them in the front door. So on the surface, what I was doing was right. But then a little something called shit luck came in. DuPont had a little chat with me one day. And I had such a tight relationship with this guy. I could hear the emotion in his voice when he had to tell me that we could no longer do business. I did nothing wrong, and he made it very, very clear in telling me. But what happened was, for those of you who can't pick up by this accent that follows me around by like a shadow, I live up in New York in a little place called Long Island. And DuPont had an office up here, and I dealt with several of their product managers. In fact, for the longest time, almost every month, I would bring in like a new product manager that I was working with, and that brought me lots of new print projects. Every time I brought one of them in, word of mouth was going in my favor, and it was just like landing in my lap, highly profitable work. But one day, they told me they had to pull out of New York. They were all moving down to the headquarters in, I think it's Wilmington, Delaware. And my response was, well, no problem. I can handle it from here. And that's when he told me, you don't understand. I have to use local vendors. Now, I had that happen. And that was between $750,000 and $1 million of my $2.5 million worth of business that I was servicing back then. Then I had a Canadian company go through the same thing. And I had a number of other things happen. And in no time at all, because I had no pipeline and no fresh business out there working for me, what happened was I lost my company. I had both of my cars repossessed. And I was about $60,000 in debt. And it took me forever to dig my family out of that mess. And it took me forever. Because, and it probably would have been easier if I just went the route of bankruptcy. But I just couldn't do that. I mean, you know, my father put that kind of work ethic in me that you don't screw people over. And I knew a lot of my vendors. I was a print broker, so I knew these people very, very well. And it just didn't sit well with me settling with these people for like, what, like 10 cents on the dollar or something like that. So what I did was I paid every one of them off. And it took me the better part of a decade. And I put my family through just a horrible time. I could tell you that as a man, it broke me. I mean, it really emotionally broke me. I don't mean just financially. You know, kind of like that man thing where you're providing for your family. My children were very young. I had another child on the way. And I felt horrible. And the story I always tell people, and I'm sorry if I'm going off on a tangent, but I want you to really understand what this sense of failure does to you as an aspiring sales rock star. You know, there's some people that when they go through a rough time, they turn to alcohol, they turn to drugs. I was very fortunate. I didn't turn to those things. I was actually too busy working my ass off in a night job for $8.50 an hour and delivering pizzas. But I was really hitting rock bottom between the hours I was working. I mean, it was a 12-hour shift that I ran going back to my roots, running a printing press for the night shift from 8 p.m. at night till 8 a.m. in the morning. And I was actually running one of the very first laser printers that had come out back in the 90s. And I would do this. And just like when you're kind of on that sleep deprivation thing, it does a lot to you emotionally. And I've always been a very strong emotionally as a person. And I remember sometimes just sitting there and, you know, thank God I wasn't around other people, and just getting very emotional and like breaking down and crying. And I was always the person who would kind of like laugh at Mrs. Uncle Paul if she would be kind of, you know, give her a hard time if she was emotional at the end of a movie or something. All of a sudden I'd become that person. Well, one day, you know, it just gets to be too much for you. And we had bill collectors calling. In fact, I actually remember talking to my wife and she was in tears one day. And she was telling me how this one bill collector was actually threatening. I mean, I couldn't believe, like, you know, like they're a little more regulated now as far as debt collection and everything else. But back then, 21 years ago, people would really say anything they could to get you to pay your damn bills. And I'll never forget that, you know, she was all upset because this one person said, "You don't understand, there will be people with guns knocking down the door coming in." It's like, kind of felt like, you know, like I took like a loan from a loan shark or something. This was like a major company that was like, you know, using these types of tactics. And it just got to be too much. And I'll never forget what had happened to me. And it's really a testimonial to like how low you can go when you have failure, the weight of failure on your shoulders. And I'll never forget, one day I hit an ice patch when I was driving and I lost control of my car. And I remember saying to myself, because I was keeping calm, all right, you know, you'll get control by the time, you know, a few feet from now. And I didn't. Then I was like, okay, maybe by that next block. I didn't. Then I'm like, okay, maybe by the time I hit this major intersection, I didn't. And next thing you know, I'm sailing through this intersection in a small little Toyota, by the way. It wasn't like some big, you know, like, you know, huge like car or something where I had like all this protection. And I remember thinking like all these little like positive thinking checkpoints I had. Well, maybe there won't be any traffic, and there was traffic. And of all the things, it was a Budweiser truck that was coming right at me. And then I was like, well, maybe I won't impact the truck. And I did. And, you know, that's one of those days, and I'm not a holy roller, but I could tell you God was looking out for me because I impacted, I hit the truck. And I was just ready at that point. I was like, all right, he's going to run toward the light. And I hit the truck. And I obviously live because I'm telling you the story right now, but there wasn't a scratch on me. There wasn't a scratch on the car. In fact, I thought, all right, so maybe this is what it's like to be dead. Like, you know, like you don't feel anything. And I realized what happened afterwards was that I had hit the tire of the truck. Think about the odds of that happening. And I literally bounced off the tire of the truck, like the side of the tire, like on this truck. So it wasn't like the front of the truck. It didn't hit me. I hit the tire because – and it reminds me of those stupid equations. You remember when you were in school, a Budweiser truck traveling at X amount of miles per hour and a Toyota traveling X amount of – I mean, that's when I realized, wow, holy shit. You know, those equations like actually mean something, right? But here's how low I was. I remember not caring. And I remember thinking, well, screw it. I'm not worth anything anyway. I'm a failure. I'm screwing over my family. I'm putting them through all these things. And I just didn't care. And you want to talk about emotional. I obviously, after I talked to the truck driver and we both agreed there was no damage and, you know, we could both go on our merry way, I remember really breaking down and becoming quite upset. And the reason why I broke down and became so upset was that I remember thinking, what happened to me? You know, I was this guy who wanted to conquer the world. And here I was, not suicidal, but, you know, I kind of felt like Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon, like putting his mouth on the gun. And I swear that I would never let that happen again. And I just want to tell you, I'm not saying that's going to happen to you. I'm just saying that all of this bullshit started because I became way too comfortable. And I thought that I didn't need to continue going out there and hunting. And many of you listening to this are going down the same road. And you never know what's going to happen with that book of business that you have. You may have things like what happened to me. You may have downsizing. You might have people cut their budgets. Many of you have experienced this already. I mean, those of you who have been around for a little while, I mean, are these far-fetched scenarios that I'm talking about? I mean, granted, I mean, the odds of you hitting a Budweiser truck like I did and bouncing off of it, I mean, that's, you know, to me, that's more like a Hollywood movie than anything else. But these are the scenarios. I mean, is that so far-fetched? So I'm very passionate about this topic because I feel that many people in sales are guilty of it. So today I really want to talk about how you can continue to hunt while taking care of your existing clients. I have several ideas here for you. The bulk of these ideas, I can tell you, are kind of, and I call them in my coaching practice, background programs. These are things that are kind of in the background while you're off doing other things. Some of them are automated, which is cool that it allows you to be literally two places at once. And other things, well, you're going to be doing during some downtime. But the very first thing I want to talk about, because I feel I would be doing you a huge disservice if I didn't go there, is this concept. To me, the best tool that you have in your arsenal is your calendar. And, you know, in the last few years, and maybe I'm a little more sensitive to this than you guys are because I speak with a tremendous amount of salespeople each and every week. I've noticed in the last decade, there's almost this pride in like trying to outbusy the next person. I'm like, I was talking to a business owner and I'm not going to say the exact words that he used, but he said, Paul, we're so effing busy. I am so effing busy right now. And there's this pride in it. And I think, yes, you should be proud of the fact that you're busy, if like, you know, business has never been better and all that kind of stuff. But many times it becomes a real safe out for us, a real safe excuse for us to keep us away from doing something unpleasant. And what's unpleasant? Picking up a phone and calling somebody cold. And to me, many times the busyness becomes almost like an avoidance activity, keeping us away from the things we know we should be doing, but we're just uncomfortable with it. And there's nothing wrong, by the way, with feeling uncomfortable and picking up a phone. I know that there's people out there that will tell you, you shouldn't be in sales if you're uncomfortable. Well, I have news for you. I've been selling now for 33 years, and I still get uncomfortable picking up a phone. It's normal. I mean, it's, you know, this is wired into us. It's, you know, it's almost into like the subconscious brain, this kind of fight or flight thing, right? Going back to like, you know, like they call it the lizard brain. So I don't want you to feel bad about that, but I also want you to know that sometimes we cling a little bit too tightly to how busy we are, and we use that as an excuse not to be putting in the work to keep new business coming in the door. So your very first tool is your most important tool, and it's your calendar. And, you know, if I were to tell you right now, you got to schedule your prospecting, you guys are going to say, duh. But there are two sides to it that I guarantee you that those of you who would say duh to that, all of a sudden now would be, oh, might be a little guilty here. If you know that me saying, hey, you know, you should schedule prospecting and hunting activities, get it on the calendar. If you know that's like sales 101, why the hell aren't you doing it? Right? Probably because you're so busy, right? We, like, at some point, you have to say, well, screw this. Like, I've got to do this. It's almost like saying, I'm too busy to breathe today. That's like, that's really not a good excuse for not hunting. You might think it is. But the other thing that I want to tell you is that, and again, I'm not here to criticize you or make you feel like an idiot or a jerk. I'm here to point out some stuff that maybe other people don't have the balls to tell you. And one of the things I can tell you is that many times we're busy doing things that in a way are sales support things and administrative things and safe things and not necessarily the right things. So the best way for me to outline this for you is to kind of give you this picture that I want you to think about, this scenario, if you will. And I want you to picture two buckets that are equal in size and equal in the amount of contents that they have. In one bucket, you have these three huge but yet beautiful gold rocks. And in the other bucket, you have all this gold sand. Now, if somebody were to tell you, okay, the challenge is to get this all into one bucket, combine those contents into one bucket, there's a lot of people, right? Because there's two schools of thought here, how you could attack it. A lot of people would take the golden sand, right? And they would try to force those rocks into the sand. Now, if you really think that through, that's not going to be too good. It's probably not going to work out too well. But instinctively, many of you might do that. It's just like, all right, let me just try to force those rocks into the sand. But now, the smart people, what they're going to do is they're going to simply take the gold sand and pour it over the gold rocks. And they may not get every drop, every last grain of sand into that bucket with the rocks, but they're going to get a hell of a lot more than they would if they try to force the rocks into the sand. Now, you might be thinking, hey, that's great, but what in the hell does that have to do with sales? It has everything to do with sales. And the items in those buckets really symbolize very important things to you. So first, let's talk about those three gold rocks. The three gold rocks, to me, represent the three obsessions of sales. Now, I didn't just pick that word out of the air, obsessions. These are three things that you absolutely have to become obsessed with in sales to be successful. And the first rock, if you will, is new account acquisition, right? It's hunting. The second rock is, well, once you get business in the door, we want to wow that business, and at a very minimum, we want to retain that business so that we're just like, you know, not in a scenario where we're getting nowhere fast. And then the third rock, if you will, is account development, where we take that business and we grow it. We either get new products and services into that account, we get into other divisions, other locations. You guys get the deal. So those three big rocks are new account acquisition, also known as hunting. It's wowing and retaining that business, and it's account development, in other words, growing that business. But I told you in the other bucket, there's golden sand. And the golden sand is underestimated many times. And the golden sand really is all the support things that you have to do. That's usually of the administrative type of flavor to support those three gold rocks. So that would be all the behind the scenes things that we have to do. Like, for example, when I bring in a new account, I have to write that training program. I have to create all the slides and write scripts for it and exercises. I have to write the training manual. I have to get over to the printer and get it printed. You guys know the deal. And then, of course, it's not just that easy, right? You're on phone calls and deadlines are missed and there's fires to put out. There's internal meetings that have to be had of a production nature and all that kind of stuff. The TPS reports have to be filled out. If you work in a company that has an inordinate amount of paperwork and stuff that's attached to a project, maybe you have to go to the legal department and talk to them about changing this one little phrase or a punctuation mark. You guys get the deal. But it's important. We can't just write it off. So those things have to coexist. But here's the problem. And this is where the story might tell more about you than you're willing to admit. Most of us attack getting all of this into one bucket or one day, if you will, right? Getting it all done. Most of us are late to the first scenario where we're trying to force the rocks into the sand. In other words, what we're doing, we have these three things that are really the secret to our success in sales, right? Hunting that business and wowing and retaining that business and growing that business. We get around to doing those things if there's time after we do all the other stuff. All that other stuff is important, but many times it keeps us away from the money activities. So what I recommend that you do is think about that story, because it's a nice visual representation. And think about it and start using your calendar as your number one weapon. Get things on the calendar. And I'm not saying that you dismiss the administrative and all the support things that you need to do, but start with like thinking about how often do you need to be hunting for business? Now, I know some people, they want to do it on a daily basis. If that works for you, then have time every single day that you put on that calendar. Other people, that's not practical because they also have to meet clients and they have all kinds of things going on in the field. They're traveling and everything else. So for other people, it's a designated part of a day or a designated full day each and every week. It might even be a designated like two half days every single week. But you have to figure out what works best for you. But the only other thing I want to say about this, and then I'm going to get into the things that you could do in the background. The only other thing that I want to say is that if you agree with me, then you can't become guilty of what most salespeople are guilty of. Most of us are well-intentioned, and we say, Thursday, I'm going to block out some time to hunt, to cold call, to get on LinkedIn, whatever you think, knock on doors. And then all of a sudden, Thursday rolls around, and a client needs something, or there's something else going on, the boss needs something, whatever. What I suggest that you do is not be disrespectful to people, not turn your back on them, but treat it the way you would an appointment with a client or even a prospect. I mean, if you have an appointment with a prospect for 2 o'clock this Wednesday, you're not going to let some nonsense thing come along and take you away from that. That would be disrespectful to the other person. Well, let's stop giving everyone else the respect that we have to be giving ourselves. So if you have blocked out from 2 to 4, or whatever it is, 10 to 12, 9 to 10:30, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Respect that, because I'm here to tell you, unless it's like, you know, the building is burning down and you have the fire hose, most people are going to be okay with you getting back to them 90 minutes later. And if they're not, I'm here to tell you that you might have to rethink that relationship. I don't know too many people that are going to say, how dare you? You took 90 minutes to get back to me. Now, yes, there are exceptions to that rule, and there are times when we have to be flexible. But certainly, it can't be at the level where it is now, where you let anything come along and rob you of that time. So that's the first thing. So the very first thing that you need to think about is your scheduling as your primary weapon here, and respecting that schedule and remaining very focused when you're making those activities. And what I mean by that, when I'm making outbound calls, I don't allow inbound calls. I let it go to voicemail. And on the hour, I check it. Why? Because nobody ever gets pissed at me for taking a whole hour to get back to them. I mean, think about that. And same thing with email pop-ups. I'm horrible with that stuff. I have to go and take down all of my pop-ups because I'm one of those asshats that, like, whenever an email comes in, I got to stop what I'm doing and look at my phone. The world will end if I don't get the memo. And when you think about how many emails you get a day, and you think about how many pop-ups you have between, if you're on Twitter, from Twitter, and you know if there's any kind of push notifications that you get from LinkedIn, and now you have your pop-ups coming up from the email and everything, they say that the average person checks their phone anywhere on the low side 40 times to well over 150 times a day. There's a lot of lost time there that adds up. Because you know it's not just a quick second. It's now whatever the amount of time was that you were kind of consuming the information. If it requires a response, you have that time. But then try getting your momentum back. Try getting back in that groove. Try getting back into that zone. It takes time. In fact, they say it takes about 23 minutes for us to get back on task. So what's happening here is that you're completely shit-canning your day. And your week, and your month, and your quarter, and your year, one interruption at a time. So that is your first thing. Now, the other things, they're a lot easier. And I'm not going to give you a long lecture with the other ones. The second thing is, for those of you who believe in showing up and bumping into people on your social networks, whether it be Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook and some of those things, then there's a really cool tool that you need to become familiar with. And it's free, and there's also a paid version. Most of you could get by splendidly, and I never say splendidly, with the free version, and it's called Buffer App. Buffer App. And what's really cool about this, as it implies, is that you can get the app downloaded for free, get in the iTunes store, and have it right on your phone. And now what you can do is you can schedule in advance different social networking updates, whether it be sharing some information that you have, maybe it's putting a tip out there for those people that are following you and you're interacting with them. And what's beautiful about Buffer App is that you can put all these things in at your leisure. So what I do is I will pre-schedule a lot of my Twitter updates and my LinkedIn updates and things like that, Facebook as well. And I'll do this in the morning while I'm having my coffee. I'll do it at lunchtime. Doing it, during non-money hours. And many times at nighttime, like right when I'm settling down, like right before I'm going to start watching some TV or chilling out, I will pre-schedule the next day's updates. So now what's really cool now, say if I do it tonight, it's Sunday now, and that's what I'm exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to pre-schedule all the things for Monday. So what's really cool about it is Monday now, while I'm off doing other things, I'm bumping into you if you follow me on those channels. If you follow me on LinkedIn, you're going to say, wow, where does the guy find the time to do this? Well, the real secret here is, first of all, I'm just as busy as you guys are. So how do I do it? Well, here's the little secret. I'm scheduling it ahead of time. So while you're bumping into me on LinkedIn or on Twitter or on Facebook or whatever, guess what? I'm in a client meeting. Mondays is a big coaching call day. I do my coaching calls 2 days a week on my schedule. And I'd like to have a schedule with activities clustered, like similar activities clustered around each other, because I'm more productive that way. So Mondays and Tuesdays are my coaching call days. So while I'm off talking to one of my coaching clients and coaching them, doing all the stuff a good coach does, I'm in two places at once. I'm also over on LinkedIn or I'm over on Twitter, both in many instances. So that's the first thing. And what's really cool about it, like I said, is that the free version allows you to pre-schedule 5 updates. And you could set them up for tomorrow. You can set them all up like for the next month or whatever. If you'd like to go beyond 5, now me, I'm a power user of social media, so the 5 is not going to cut it for me. So what's really cool is that the paid version, you don't have to sell off a kidney or take out a second mortgage and cash in all your deposit bottles to do it. So the paid version is only $10 a month, so it's very affordable. So that's the very first thing you can do. The second thing that you can do really goes back to that scheduling thing. And I think it's very, very important. And I want to make something clear before we go on. I probably should have said this before. Many times when I give this lecture about having things that you do in the background, right away, people get very defensive. So you're saying we should do this instead of cold calling and doing the actual work? How do you make money doing this? I'm not saying that you do this instead of. I'm saying that you do this to buy you time until the next time that you can pick up a phone. But this next tip is going to keep you picking up the phone and reaching out to people every single day, even when you are insanely busy. So the next one, and many of you who know me and know me for a while, you know that I've been teaching this formula for about 4 years now, and I call it the 2-2-2 formula. And I get, of all the tips that I give, just to let, just as a little FYI, I get a tremendous amount of feedback on this one. People saying, oh my gosh, Castain, like this like works like a charm. This is like, you should go out and get this patented. And it's really cool because it's so easy to do. So it's called the 2-2-2 formula. So every day when you get up and you're having your morning coffee, instead of watching the news and getting all depressed, right, like hearing about the 18 murders that happened last night and this country is going to invade that one and find out what Trump said about Hillary and Hillary said about Trump, all that kind of fun negativity that doesn't make you feel like going out and conquering the world, what I want you to do instead is send out two emails. That's the first two is going to be two emails to two people that you're not doing business with. Two emails to them. That's it. And now, if you're like me, you have emails that you send out on a regular basis. So you have like some templates that you use. So you don't have to like every single time reinvent the wheel, right? And rewrite from scratch this perfect email. I mean, you're going to have a basic format that you use for an intro email or a follow-up email or kind of an email where you're sending along a resource or whatever it is. But every single day, before you even go in the office, while you're having your cup of coffee, before you go out and hit the gym, start taking all those selfies bragging about how good you look, what I want you to do is send out two emails to two people that you're not doing business with. Now the second two comes in, and it's also going to happen in the morning before you hit the road. You're going to send out two pieces of snail mail. And when I say snail mail, I mean anything that you're sending out. It could even be a FedEx or whatever. But I have a rule for this one, and I always tell my clients, put some kind of personal touch to it, like some kind of a handwritten component in there. So whether you're taking a piece of like company collateral, marketing collateral, and you're sending it to them, slap a little post-it note on there and with a little note calling the person by name or whatever, or a handwritten note or a handwritten card or whatever. But do that before you hit the road for the day, whether you're off to the airport or the office or out to see clients or whatever. Now watch what's happened here. First of all, how long is it going to really take you? Let's be really like painfully honest with each other. How long is it going to take you to send two emails that you're, especially if you're doing it every day, right? It's a discipline and you're going to have some templates that you use, and you should have templates that you're using. How long is it going to take you to do that? How long is it going to take you to just send out two lousy pieces of snail mail, even two awesome pieces of snail mail? It's not going to take you a long time. But here's the beautiful thing. Before the day has officially begun, you've had four attempts that are in the bank already. Think about that. And it's four more than you have now. But now the other part, the final two in the 2-2-2 formula, is every single day, call two people that you're not doing business with. And that's it. Now, the beautiful thing about this formula is that it's sneaky. And what I mean by that is that many times people look at it like, well, it's just like, what good could it do, Paul? It's only like two things, right? Well, no, it's two things, three sets of two different things. So that's like six touches or six attempts, if you will, a day. It's 30 a week. It's over 1,500 a year. And, you know, I always kid around about this. I mean, if you have 1,500 attempts a year, 1,500 more than you're doing now, because you know damn well you're not really following this formula, right? And especially, you know, you're busy and you're seeing clients. You're not doing that on a day you're seeing clients. You're focusing on the client. So if you do this every single day, at the end of the year, you're going to have 1,500, right? Now, you would have to, like, tell all 1,500, like, go screw themselves. Or like F off, or like, you know, remember George Carlin, he had, what was it, like all like, what was it, the 7 dirty words or whatever it is, or 12 dirty words or whatever. And you would literally have to like, you know, like carpet bomb them with all that and tell them, please don't buy from me. There is no way that you can have 1,500 attempts and not have something good come of that. But the other thing that it does that's so important to sales reps is that it keeps your muscles strong. Because here's the problem. When you are prospecting sporadically, you're not building those muscles. And think about it. Like most of us, we're busy. We're running here. We're running there. We're doing all these activities. And for some of us, it might be, it might work out every 3 weeks. You might have a chance to like pick up a phone and start working your cold calling muscles again. Maybe it's every 2 or 3 months, once a quarter or whatever it is. It's really not that often. And it's a shame because you need those muscles strong. But of all the arguments I could give you, the strongest argument that I could offer you is that what it allows you to do is stay top of mind with people. So now, look what we've talked about so far. And we're not even done with the podcast and all the tips that I have for you today. We're showing up and we're bumping into some people over on the social networks. We're connected with them on LinkedIn and Twitter or whatever it is. We're bumping into them there. Then what we're doing is we're also bumping into them through email. We're also bumping into them through snail mail. We're also bumping into them on the phone without spending an inordinate amount of time. Now, again, for those of you who say, well, that's not enough, man. You know, you're just talking about like a lousy 6 attempts every single day. Of course, it's not enough. This is like something that you're going to do in the meantime while you're trying to like find more time to do the other things. But this will enable you to keep top of mind, front and center with a lot more people than like you're doing today, right? So that brings us to the next one. The next thing that you can do, and I already alluded to this, but we're going to go kind of down a different road here, is, you know, when you're really, really busy, and this is the one where I get the most pushback on, what I think you should do is that you should have some direct mail that you're sending out. Now, I don't mean that this has to be something that you spend, like that you're sending out 30,000 pieces and you have to have, you know, $700,000 for postage and all that kind of stuff. When I say direct mail, just like really snail mail, like what I was saying before in the 222 formula, what you should do, whether it be on a weekly basis or a monthly basis, I prefer a weekly basis, have a certain amount of mailing pieces that you're sending out. And what I choose to do, and for you it might be different, my kids are grown. But when I say that they're grown, by the way, I mean my youngest is now 19 and my oldest is going on 23 already. Wow. I had to like stop and think about that. And what happens with kids of that age is that they like their sleep. So they're sleeping in anyway. So what I do on Saturday mornings is I get up early and I stuff some envelopes. And that's what I do. And, you know, I'll spend a little bit of time doing this. I'm doing this early in the morning. And what really works out really cool with me and Mrs. Uncle Paul is that she also enjoys her own time in the morning. So we always have our own individual time, whether it's to kind of sit there and kind of mess around on Facebook or kind of sit and think and enjoy some quiet time, sit outside and just, you know, we're kind of fortunate because in our neighborhood it's very quiet in the morning. So whatever it is that we're doing, it's not like, well, I just interrupted the only time I have with my wife or my kids or whatever. But you have to find where that time is for you and get those pieces out. Now, if you absolutely can't do it, and I'm telling you, you know, some of this, it's kind of like, forgive me, I'm going to curse again, but some of it, it's really like tough shit. I know that you're busy, but if you really want something, you know that whole thing that Jim Rohn says, if you really want something, you're going to find a way. And if you don't, you're going to find an excuse. And I want you to be aware of the fact that you might right now, in response to what I just told you, be telling yourself some kind of an excuse. If you really want something, well, maybe you need to get up a little bit earlier. Maybe, I mean, you know, there's such a thing called a DVR. Maybe instead of watching The Walking Dead, I know, like, God forbid, maybe what you're going to do is you're going to stuff some envelopes or whatever. Or maybe, here's the other thing that you could do. I mean, stuffing envelopes, that's kind of a cool thing for, like, a kid to do. Or if there's a stay-at-home mom in the neighborhood, I know that I've done that. Or if you don't want to go that route, how about getting a virtual assistant and having them help you with that? But what's beautiful about getting direct mail out, even, like I said, if it's 10 or 20 pieces a week, while those things are being mailed out, you're off fighting the good fight, right? You're off meeting with clients and putting out fires, doing all these things. And you get those things working for you. So watch what's happened so far. We're showing up at two places at once by using that Buffer app. We're bumping into people over in our social networks while we're off doing other things because we've automated these things and we have them preset. I've been able to take vacations because of that Buffer app. When I always talk about all the camping trips I take, it's because of Buffer app. When holidays hit, I'm off hugging my kids and we're going to the movies and doing all kinds of stuff, hanging out, getting goofy because my son's home from college or whatever, maybe taking an overnight trip somewhere, hanging out with Mrs. Uncle Paul or whatever. While I'm doing those things, just know that I'm also showing up through Buffer app. But the other thing that I'm doing is every single day I'm using that 222 formula, right? I'm sending out two emails. I'm sending out two pieces of snail mail. I'm making two phone calls. Now I'm staying in front of people. I'm keeping my muscles sharp. I'm keeping that familiarity thing alive and well. And what's beautiful about it, it's not taking up a lot of my time to do those things. So, and what's cool about that 222 formula, by the way, is that even if you absolutely can't find the time to make those calls, because the calls are the component that you really have to do during business hours, well, you know, two-thirds of this has been done before you ever, like before you even finish breakfast. So that's kind of cool. But there's more to it now. And it's really the, you know, the final component of this. And this is an area that I've really been talking up an awful lot lately because I see this as an area that all of us need to get better. And I call it permission-based emails, where you automate them. Now, there's really two types of flavors when it comes to emails. The first flavor I talked about in the 222 formula. It's an individual email. You're sending it to Jane Jones at the ABC company. You're calling her by name and you're trying to get in to see her or whatever the heck it is, right? So that's kind of almost like a cold email, if you will. Permission-based is when, and many of you, you sign up for my blog, right? That's a permission-based type of thing. Many of you have signed up for, I guess you would call it my newsletter, but you've really signed up for my emails. You said, hey, I'm interested in what you have to say, Uncle Paul. You have my permission to show up in my inbox. Even though you're not saying that, that's what's implied. So now what's really cool about that is I use an email service, and there are many that are out there. I prefer AWeber. There's also MailChimp. I've used MailChimp, and I've also used AWeber. I prefer AWeber, and it's easy to use, great for a beginner. There's lots of cool things that you can do with it. So what you can do with AWeber is just like you did with Buffer app, you could have some preloaded emails that you've done at your leisure. Again, it could be early in the morning before the kids get up. It could be instead of watching TV tonight, you could set some up and then you have that DVR going and you just watch it another night. I mean, God forbid, right? But I mean, maybe The Walking Dead is an exception because, I mean, if you miss it, you're going to get all the idiots on Facebook like doing spoilers and stuff. So I kind of sympathize with you on that. Plus, I don't want to wait any longer for that one. But anyway, so what's really cool about this now, you don't have to. See, you're not a marketing person, and that's probably what you're saying right now. Well, that's like a marketing thing. It's not a marketing thing. Marketing should be doing that too. But marketing's job is to market the company, not to market you, not to get people with a level of comfort with you, not to show up on your behalf. You don't want them doing that for you. They're not qualified for that. They're qualified like in a really cool way to do that for the company and products and services and all that kind of stuff. When it comes to you, you're the one who's qualified to do that. And if people, like we said, do business with people they know, like, and trust, and if, in essence, they buy us first before the company, before the widget, before the solution, before the bells and whistles and the benefits and the guarantees and warranties and all that kind of stuff, then we have to do things to facilitate that. We can't just go around making cute statements like, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. Great. What does that mean? I don't know. I'm just so used to saying it mechanically. And that's really, like, most of us are guilty of that, right? So instead of saying it, we got to do shit that, like, underscores that. So My suggestion is this, is that you really want to create an email list that people have opted into. And again, the first step is to go to something like AWeber or MailChimp or Constant Contact or something like that. Most of these, for your purposes, it's going to set you back maybe a whole $30 a month. And yes, as your list grows, it's going to cost you more than that. But I mean, think about that. I mean, like, how many sales do you have to make back $30 a month? I mean, let's not be cheap about this, right? I mean, and if you have to do multiple sales to make back $30, I think you have a bigger problem that you need to like do some soul searching on. So it starts there. And then really where it goes from there is getting people to opt in and having things to say to them on a regular basis. So what I want to offer now is really, it's kind of like the infomercial part of the podcast. This is the part where most people, they just don't know what to do. And I'm here to tell you that you don't have to be a professional copywriter. You don't have to be a professional content marketer. You don't have to be me. And I know many of you, like, you look at this and say, well, Paul, you know, I don't want to be a lunatic like you. Like, you're all, like, you're on podcasts and you're doing this, that, or the other thing. I don't wish that on anybody. I will tell you that there's a very nice return on that investment. I wouldn't be doing it for 8 years now, almost 9 years, if there wasn't, you know, just because, like, I have nothing to do. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to go crazy like that. But it's an absolute must that you have things in the background, and especially this email component where you can pre-schedule things to go out this week while you're off doing other things, or next week while you're off doing other things. And it's really cool because you almost forget about them. They're off in the background. And remember what I said, you don't have to go and preload the next year and a half of these. You can start with just one simple email in there and preload one or two of them, whatever. Or you know what? Maybe you're just not at the point that you can really preload them, but you just want to have a list of people who have said, yes, I give you permission. So if you'd like to learn more about this and how you can create these emails, I actually created a webinar that we're going to be doing this Thursday, November 3rd at 11:30 a.m. Eastern. And it's called How to Generate More Leads Via Email. Nice and simple, right? And I've created it for salespeople, not marketing people. My goal is not to turn you into a professional marketer. My goal is not to say this is a replacement for cold calling and all the traditional things. What I'm trying to say to you guys in many, many different ways, whether I'm talking about these emails or when I'm talking to you guys about LinkedIn, what I'm trying to say is that we need every single weapon in the arsenal. Because different things are going to appeal to different people. We know that, right? We have people that we reach out to and they're never going to respond to a phone call and they'll respond to an email. We have people that you send an email to, they're not going to respond to that. They're going to be more your phone call people. We can go on and on and on. But anyway, November 3rd at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And before I tell you what we're going to do, the most important thing I want to tell you for now is that if you hear the day and time and you say, geez, I can't make it, just understand that I always deliver it live and I also record it. So if you can't make it and you're interested in this, I want you to sign up anyway. And then later in the day on the 3rd, I'll send you the recording. And what's really cool about it, I say recording, and sometimes I think people think, well, it's just the audio. No, it's like almost like, imagine like pay-per-view, right? Or like, you know, on demand on your TV. It's not just the audio, right? It's the visual part of it too. So it's going to be like I'm there, but the only difference is that you can't ask me a question live. And what I do is I make myself available through email. And I always say in the webinar, okay, those of you who are going to be listening to this as like an instant download, you obviously can't ask me a question live, but if you shoot me an email, I give my email address, I'll answer all of your questions. So I'm very happy to help you that way. But here's what we're going to be talking about. I mean, first of all, how do you get potential clients to willingly sign up for your emails? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about 15 types of emails with subject lines that get opened, read, and responded to. Now, I said here 15 types of emails. I got to be honest with you. I think it's going to go beyond 15 types of emails. I'm still writing this. And at last count, I think I was about 20. And many times, those of you who've gone through my webinars, I tell people it's going to be 90 minutes I just about always give an extra half an hour on that. I don't watch the clock. I'm not going to hold back on giving you stuff because, you know, I'm watching the clock. When it comes to the amount of things that I'm giving you, I'm not going to hold back and say, well, I've done my part. I'm going to give you every single thing that I can. Also, we're going to talk about how you can establish rapport, credibility, and my favorite word in the whole wide world, propinquity, which is that sense of nearness and closeness and kinship with those people that are reading your emails. And the beautiful part of it is you're going to do all that while you're doing other things because it's going to be off in the background working on your behalf. We're going to talk about how you can dominate in a competitive industry without bad-mouthing your competitors. And that's very, very important. And the way that you dominate, not to give away the secret here, is by establishing your expertise and by educating and informing the people reading your emails on how to do what they do better and even how they can buy your particular service where you're setting the rules of engagement. Because I'm sure many of you will agree that sometimes people make the wrong decision and they go with a competitor of yours and they made the wrong choice. It's not just because you think they suck and you're better. It's just because maybe they use price as the differential. But meanwhile, you're offering all these other things that your competitor is going to nickel and dime on. But if you only could have instructed them on how to buy better without bad-mouthing, man, they could have went and landed, you know, in your court instead. We're also going to talk about how to generate leads through email. Because I generate a tremendous amount of leads. And the thing that I always talk about, to me, it's like, it's almost like me always talking about that propinquity thing. I read this book, and this really like opened my eyes. And I read this book on it's about product launches, but using email and social media and everything else. The name of the book is called Launch by Jeff Walker. And he talks about how important your email list is. And he said in there, and I'm butchering the quote, something along the lines of your email list is the closest thing. When you send something to them, the closest thing you will ever come in your lifetime to being able to legally print money. And I really believe that. And when I read it at the time, my email list was already about 3 years old at that point. And every time I send something out to my email list, it is equating to money for me. It's people saying, hey, you know, I want to talk to you about coaching, Paul. Or, hey, you know what? You've got this webinar coming up. I want in. Or, hey, Paul, we want to talk about you coming out and doing this. Now, you might be thinking, yeah, that's great. You do training. I don't do training. It only works for trainers. No, it doesn't. It works like you could do the same thing and have people like wanting to meet with you. You could do the same thing and, you know, having people wanting more information from you or having questions or going to you as the authority. And isn't that like a whole change of events for you when you're versus calling somebody cold? So if you'd like to learn more about this, I would just, the only like real like pushiness, I guess, that I'm going to become guilty of is just asking you to move quickly because it's coming up this week. Many of you, you're like me and you'll put things off. If this makes sense to you, why don't you take a moment now, like to pull over the car, visit yoursalesplaybook.com/leads, yoursalesplaybook.com/leads. And if you like what you read, sign up and come join us. And on that note, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com, and I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them, folks. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.